You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. We train our boys to be killing machines, and then we prosecute them when they kill. That's what President Trump said after pardoning three military heroes.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I agree with pardoning two of the three, but I do not agree whatsoever with his pardoning and granting clemency to Navy SEAL Chief Petty Officer Eddie Gallagher, because that was one of my cases for the Judge Advocate General. And I firmly believe, after interviewing all the witnesses and looking at all the evidence with our forensic death investigation team members, that Gallagher cowardly and brutally killed that 15-year-old defenseless kid, Lynn. You know.
Well, and I understand the evidence, and I understand everything that happened there. That being said, they decided to find him not guilty for whatever political reasons were involved. And so there we go.
Well, you know, you and I both know, because we've talked, you and I have talked about these different cases for quite some time. You know, for instance, former Lieutenant, Army Lieutenant Clint Lawrence had to make a split-second decision. You know, just like a police officer, he had to make
yes.
a split-second decision. And as you remember, just like a week or 2 weeks before, some Taliban terrorists on a motorcycle went into a group of soldiers and civilians, and they had suicide vests on, mm-hmm. and they killed themselves, and I think they killed about 22 other people,
wow.
including some Afghani soldiers and things like that. And so, you know, here we've got poor Lieutenant Lawrence and his platoon, who'd only been on patrol for about 15 minutes, okay? So
yeah.
they just start their patrol day, and they're in an area that's a heavy Taliban area. And here comes down the road this motorcycle with not one guy on it, but three guys, which is always weird, you know, speeding down the road directly towards his platoon members who had, you know, set up a security checkpoint. They were just setting it up, and they're coming, and he orders the guys to fire some warning shots, you know, and this takes place in seconds. And the guys on the motorcycle completely ignore the warning shots, and then he says, hey, you know, I'm not letting these guys get into this checkpoint and blow the hell out of all my men. And he ordered them to open fire on him, and they prosecuted him for
right.
second degree murder.
Right. And, you know, it's these, I don't know, I call them backseat drivers, these, you know, after the fact, people that second guess, people that have never been in a situation like this where you have to make a split second decision to save lives. And you know what? The decisions don't always come out right. We'll never know if that decision didn't come out right, Ron. They didn't find weapons, and they didn't find vests on these guys. But you have to make a call. And these guys didn't stop despite the warning shots. And it just is kind of what happens in war.
Yeah, and then, you know, we both acknowledge the fact that this was a case that this poor Lieutenant Clint Lawrence has been in Leavenworth for 6 years, and this
yes.
happened a couple of years before that. So we are totally under the old rules of engagement, which were absolutely insane and dangerous for our troops, the rules of engagement
yes.
under the Obama administration.
It left us at such a disadvantage.
Oh, my God, yeah. And then what happens is that, and I totally apply what happened to Lawrence to how police officers have to act in the field, you know, which is my wheelhouse. And you can't use 20/20 hindsight.
Right.
Like you said, you can't do that. You know, just because they didn't find weapons at the time and they didn't find suicide vests, you have to look at the decision to deploy deadly force in the moment.
In the moment.
And based on the what we call totality of circumstances, I felt that it was completely exculpatory behavior. The other thing was, is that they were going to prosecute all the guys that shot unless they turned on their own lieutenant. So they take these guys, and they were the guys that actually did the killing. Of course, they're under orders. Okay, I totally get that. And they take the guys that they were going to prosecute, that they charged for homicide, and they said, well, we'll let you off the whole thing if you just testify against your commanding officer, which is what they were forced to do. So you had reluctant witnesses. Not only did you have a bad fact pattern that was being evaluated with 20/20 hindsight, but you had people that were forced to testify against their will, forced to testify against a commanding officer. It just stinks to high heaven.
Yeah. Well, and you put our boys, our sons, every parent could relate that has a child that's about 19 years old. And, you know, you think about what situation that you put them in and day out overseas in these areas where people are, they just are a different culture than we are used to in the United States. They think nothing of killing people.
Killing their children, killing themselves, using their children and wives as human shields.
Exactly. So you put them in this situation in a foreign country, and you tell them to protect the United States, and then when they do so, you prosecute them. Yeah. So the other one, which I am so, so glad that was pardoned, was the gentleman that killed the bomb maker.
That's U.S. Army Major Matthew Goldstein.
Yes, and he, you know, to my mind, he's a hero. He's absolutely a hero. I mean, that situation was one where yes, the bomb maker had...
He'd already killed a couple of the major's guys.
Yes.
In his command staff.
And that was previously.
With a bomb.
Right. But then he was... They had released him, and he was going away from the compound, I guess.
Well, what happened? Okay, so how did they catch him in the first place? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we had villagers cooperating with the United States military that turned the guy in.
Yes.
But then the guy found out, the bomb maker found out that those guys turned him in. And so poor Major Goldstein has got to make a command decision, because he knows the Taliban now is going to go into that village and is going to kill all those people.
Yes.
Plus, he's an active bomb maker who already killed two of the major's men and is going to kill more people. And they're going to let this guy walk away.
Right, but they let him walk away because of the rules of engagement at
the
time.
Correct, because he wasn't a direct threat at that moment.
Yeah, at that moment. Okay, he doesn't have a bomb on him at that moment. So they let him walk away, and this guy says, no, you know, a lot of people are going to die now because of this, because they told on him. And so he went out, and he went after him, and he killed him. And to me, he's a hero. So I am so, so happy about this decision by President Trump to understand and make our men feel like we in the United States have their back out in the field in some foreign hellhole that they are working in.
You know, there is no way, and our military gets a lot of training, okay? I mean, I've actually trained with the military and Navy SEALs in our special, you know, compounds that we make. You know, for instance, I did a lot of training in Fort Ord with the SEALs. And, you know, we have entire villages there, and they're called mounts. And they're villages, just if you can imagine, exactly, they look exactly like the Middle East. And we even take people from the DLI, or the Defense Language Institute, which is also in Monterey, coincidentally. And we put in, like in my scenarios that I was involved in, we put about 150 people there, and they're all dressed up in Middle East garb, and they're all speaking Farsi, and it's absolutely amazing. I mean, if they were to blindfold you and put you in that situation and take the blindfold off, you would think that you were absolutely in the Middle East. I mean, to me, it was amazing. It was a big eye-opener. And so they do phenomenal training. But really, there is no way that you can really train our military, especially these poor young men and women, that they put them into these combat zones and prepare them for this. Look, this is not World War II, where everybody's dressed up in an identifiable uniform, okay? Literally everybody around you could be the enemy and could kill you at any second. And so we take our people and we put them in this environment with these ridiculous rules of engagement, And then we prosecute them in a millisecond when they have to make life and death decisions. It's insane.
Well, and don't forget, I don't know the situation with these three men, but I do know the situation with people in general that are put in that situation. So you're over there, and over time, you see people who you think are civilians, and you see them murder your men, or you see them murder other people, and you put them in these situations, and it becomes a situation where they don't know who they can trust and who they can't trust, and therefore, you know, they're going to be extremely wary.
And you know, it's even beyond that, because they have, I think that's the dog crying, but they even have green-on-green shootings where they have members of the Afghan military or the Iraqi military that have been radicalized, and in uniform, in our own military bases, they are killing our soldiers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Okay? You don't know who you can trust or believe in. When you have a belief that something's going to happen to you, you have a split second to make a decision.
And you know, let me, and I think you heard this story, but it's a great time just to kind of bring it up again. One of our own relatives in our family that was in the Army, he told us a story about him being on the base, and everybody, of course, is wearing, you know, body armor, okay? They're wearing assault vests and body armor, and they're working with, you know, the other side, you know, the Iraqis. I think in this case, it was Iraqi soldiers. And his commanding officer told their men to take off their body armor as a show of trust to the other side, okay, to the other soldiers. And the soldiers were just incredulous. You want us to take off our body armor as a show of trust? What if somebody else shoots us? What if they shoot us? And that's the stupidity that President Trump, that's been inculcated in the United States military, in some factions of the United States military, in the command staff that were promoted under the regime of Barack Obama. Okay, and these are the people, these idiots, and these idiot prosecutors in the Judge Advocate General, who I've worked with for many years. Okay, and this is the idiocy that you see, that our poor men and women have got to work under. You want to talk about stressful, trying conditions. It's no wonder these soldiers, sailors, Marines, Coast Guard people that go over there to fight come back with PTSD. There's no doubt in my mind why this happens.
And so many of them do. And I know firsthand at least three right now who are very, very young men who are under 25 who have PTSD. So, yes, you know, congratulations to these men for being pardoned, you know, and thank God for President Trump, because he fought an inside battle against the Pentagon about pardoning these men. But he is strong enough to hold to his values and to do the right thing. And I think he did. I also am not a fan of Eddie Gallagher. I think Eddie Gallagher got lost somewhere along the way in all of his different
deployments.
But that being said, that give is worth it to me to get the other two to be free, because they deserve to be free. They are heroes. And, you know, thank God for President Trump to have the strength and the, you know, just the moral compass to do the right thing against tremendous backlash from the left.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that we're ending this part of our discussion about, you know, these guys and Gallagher, because, you know, that was my case for almost a year and a half. And I am absolutely no fan whatsoever of Eddie Gallagher. Okay, I was involved in his prosecution, but I will join with you on one thing. He didn't start out like that. Okay, he didn't start out as a murderer. Okay,
no.
He was a valiant SEAL.
Yes.
Okay, and initially did great credit to Naval Special Warfare and the SEAL community. But for God's sakes, and this is a problem with these endless wars that Trump is talking about, this man was deployed 9 different occasions to the war on terror in the Middle East. Can you just imagine what SEALs have to do for a living? And this guy is there for 9 separate deployments. and he changed, and I had his whole history. And you can't help but see that that man changed as his career wore on. And people knew he was changing, and they knew he was a train wreck, and they kept deploying him to the Middle East.
And I think it would be incumbent upon the leadership above him to notice that and to maybe realize that it's time for him not to redeploy it at a certain time. And that's a shame that they didn't, and I give them a lot of responsibility. So, you know, either way, my kudos is to President Trump over this, Ron.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And we need leadership like this. And, you know, say what you want about President Trump, and he does some stuff that I want to beat my head against the wall and scream out, stop the tweeting, stop this, stop that. But here's what continues to resonate with me about this president of the United States. First of all, he's nobody's fool. He is a populist president, which we haven't had for decades.
Right.
Okay. And he tries to do the right thing. He may not always do the right thing, but he certainly doesn't do anything that's criminal or anything like that at all. And he fights the good fight, and he is continually, you know, fighting to drain that swamp, and he is getting set upon 24/7.
Yeah.
Okay, 24/7, this man is being attacked, and all he's trying to do is help the American people.
Do you know what I love about him is that he has brought a clearer vision to the American people about how deep and how dark and how large this swamp is. It is like swamp creatures are coming out from all ends of this huge swamp and attacking him in every different way, which I want to talk about in a few minutes with, you know, Schiff, and those are definitely swamp dwellers in my opinion. But people need to really notice, no matter what happens with President Trump, with the impeachment proceedings, with the election, with anything, he has given America a clear view of just how deep and awful this swamp is, and we need to drain it because we have serious problems.
And you know, he's the only president, even the Republican presidents, he's the only president that has ever taken the time to step outside the box and to point out to the American people where the problems are that he sees. And what I like about this, he sees it as a, he's not, of course he's the president, but he sees it as a citizen and not as a politician. He's beginning to speak a little bit more like a politician because he's in that political game. But when he looks at things, it's through the prism of being a citizen just like you and me. And no other president in my entire lifetime has given us this view of the government and the military industrial complex, and as we refer to it, the swamp.
Yep.
How about a cup of coffee?
You got it.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio. On our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
Well, the impeachment proceedings in public have begun against President Trump. And, you know, I was able to watch a portion of it, a good portion of it. And I know that you weren't, so I want to get your take on some of the things that I saw.
Well, I didn't watch it, but I had it on in the office, and I was listening to it on a radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the first day we had William Taylor, who's a top U.S. diplomat to Ukraine, and we had George Kent, who's a deputy assistant secretary of state for Europe and Eurasia. Okay, so these two guys did all their talking, and I was watching, and I just thought, my first thought was how pompous and ridiculous this whole process was, because they spent so much time on first Schiff comes on and he makes some big speech, and then Kent comes on and he makes a big speech about himself and his family and their history and their public service. And then Taylor comes on and he makes a big speech about his history and his family and his public service, none of which has anything to do with anything. So what they did is they wasted a lot of time that our legislators could have been doing things for the American people, just to say how wonderful they all are. And thank you so much for being here, and you're a patriot, and all these things. What was the crux of everything that they said? Nothing. They said nothing. Neither man had any direct knowledge of anything whatsoever. Neither man could make an accusation against the president for anything whatsoever. So what was the point?
Well, you know, if it was evening, we'd put it into the TV comedy ratings, okay? All right, but you know, I saw this on so many different levels. Now, I did get to watch, you know, post-hearing. I've had opportunities to watch snippets on television, and you and me were watching TV last night, and we got to watch all the replay basically on Fox and One American News and everything. But this is TV political theater, every single bit of it. And what continues to bother me every time we have a Senate investigative hearing or a congressional investigative hearing, it's all aggrandizement?
They're
just talking about themselves.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, look how great I am, and this and that. And this particular thing, it's the same thing. Now, I believe that the Democratic strategy is to try to put out a lot of credibility statements about these different witnesses. And then after they burned up the entire clock, except for a few minutes, then they're going to ask a few easy, softball, probative questions, all right? And then the Republicans get in there, and they absolutely kill these witnesses. And they could have absolutely done, I'll tell you what, thank God I'm not there, because I know how to forensically interview witnesses, and I would have killed every single one of these witnesses. Like you said, though, Lynn, I mean, here succinctly, what you said is absolutely correct, a lot shorter than me. These people had nothing to offer.
They have
nothing
to offer.
Nothing.
So what is this all about? And the heroes of this, of day one, to my mind, definitely were always Jim Jordan, because Jim Jordan he's just such a great interrogator, and he gets right to the point, and he just nails it when he talks. Then you have Elise Stefanik, who I had never heard of, and she's a Republican representative from New York. I'd never heard of her. Boy, am I impressed with her.
She had some masterful moments.
She did, and she is right on Schiff asking him, well, are you gonna not allow questions from us? Are you not gonna allow our witnesses? And Schiff is just, he's very uncomfortable with her. He doesn't know what to do with her. And it's very self-evident to me that he doesn't know what to do with a strong woman on that committee that asks him very direct questions and doesn't let up on it. And I love it. And so what he does is he shuts her down from even talking.
Well, no, you know, you're exactly right. And what happens is that Schiff treats the women differently. Okay. So actually, and I want to talk about Marie Yovanovitch, you know, who was the former ambassador to the Ukraine. And by the way, interesting to note, and I think this is very important, all this stuff happened long after she was gone.
Right.
Okay, she was gone for months before any of this happened.
Well, and she's another one that has nothing to offer and nothing to say.
Well, yeah, and so they're asking, the Democrats are asking her questions which are designed to provoke an emotional response, and they really didn't get that kind of emotional response that they wanted from her. And then they wanted to go into gender bias with respect to Trump, but then look how stupid that was. So Schiff is pretty confused about how he treats women. Okay, so he treats Yovanovitch in a very respectful manner, and then he turns around and treats Republican Representative Elise Stefanik in a condescending, hey, shut up, we don't want to hear from you. I thought it was a very rude response and conversation with her. But the thing that I really like about Stefanik, she doesn't take any crap from anybody, and she just hit him right between the eyes. And of course, speaking of eyes, Shifty Shift has got a permanent, I've never seen anything like this, he's got a permanent deer in the headlights look.
It's the bulging eyes.
I mean, I don't get where this,
Well, and he is very disrespectful. And the thing is, Ron, the American people, I'm sure, see the same thing that we see, that this is very one-sided, that Schiff is, even though he said he was going to have the whistleblower testify, and that was, by the way, what made him mad about Elise Stefanik, that she kept saying, you said, and she read his tweets where he said he was going to have him testify, him or her, and now he's not. And he shuts her down.
Well, the reason why is because in the interim period, I think pretty much everybody knows who the whistleblower is.
Yeah.
And they've already done the deep background on the whistleblower, and now they can connect the whistleblower to Adam Schiff's staff, which is, on his part, liar, liar, pants on fire. Well, he said, he kind of spits over the line. No, I've never met the whistleblower, but
yes, he has.
But the deep background confirms pretty much that, well, everybody on your staff met him, okay?
Well, and here's the question that they don't want to ask. They don't want the Republicans to ask this whistleblower, how were you privy to classified information? Who gave you the classified information? Because that's a big deal, because he shouldn't have had that information in the first place. And the other thing is that, from what I understand, his background is rather shady, and he's got a lot of dealings with the likes of Brennan and Clapper and Biden and
well, there you
all
go.
These people.
The last name you mentioned, I think, is the key to this, because he's had a lot of connections.
He's a Biden person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They've traveled together. They had contact together. This guy was allegedly fired from the State Department and then went over to the CIA, or went over to, another intelligence organization. But the bottom line is he's a confirmed Democrat. He's an anti-Trumper, and he has connections to Joe Biden.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, of course, it's just total speculation, but I think Shifty Shift and all these Democrats that are in the inquiry hearing, by the way, here's what's interesting. Five of these people before this inquiry ever came about had already publicly denounced President Trump and had called for his impeachment. So you want to talk about confirmation bias.
Well, including the whistleblower's lawyer.
Well, yeah.
Who said that the coup was starting years ago.
It's just ridiculous. And why Schiff is scared about someone like Stefanik and Devin Nunes and Chris Stewart, Republican from Utah, and Jim Jordan, all these guys and gals, is because he doesn't want to bring the whistleblower forward, because if it does, then we're going all the way around karma-wise, and it's going to point out that this guy was a Biden guy, and I think these Democrats on the inquiry panel are all pro-Biden guys. They could give a damn less about Bernie Sanders. They can give a damn less about Elizabeth Warren and all these other, Democrat candidates. Biden's their guy, and it just puts Biden deeper and deeper in the weeds. You know what I think about Biden now? I don't think about Biden as former Vice President of the United States. I think of Biden as Hunter Biden's son. Or a father, okay, and all the crap he got involved
well,
in.
Well, I see Joe Biden as part of the swamp, as part of the corruption, as if you cannot look at what he did in saying that he was going to withhold money for not firing or for firing or not firing
the prosecutor
on Burisma, then, I mean, talk about quid pro quo, talk about bribery, talk about whatever you want to call it that they want to call for Trump. This is what they did, not what Trump has done. And by the way, Trump released another transcript of his phone call, first phone call to Zelensky that said, there are no preconditions to us meeting. So all of this is off the table. And then in Yovanovitch's statements, you know, after they went hours of all this gobbledygook about poor me, I was fired and da da da, baloney. The president can fire whoever he wants. Where was she crying about what happened to the ambassador in Benghazi? These people are just hypocrites. And when you have Chris Stewart, was it?
Yeah, he took her apart in less than a minute.
Right.
Okay. Was there any, do you know of any criminal act by the President of the United States? No. Do you know of any acts of bribery? Because now, don't forget, the language is changing.
Right.
Have you noticed that?
Right.
And it's because they've gone to focus groups. Okay, so people didn't understand, or the term quid pro quo didn't resonate with people. Okay, so what is resonating with people? And that's why the language changed demonstrably as this hearing has proceeded, because we're into it for about a week now. It went from quid pro quo to bribery. And now, yesterday, it went to witness intimidation. Because those are things that create an emotional response from the naive public.
Well, and talk about witness intimidation, because President Trump tweets during the hearing, which I wish he wouldn't do, but okay, he did. But it's during the hearing. And if Schiff had not read it out loud to Marie Yovanovitch, she wouldn't have known that he tweeted during the hearing. So how can you accuse the president of witness intimidation when she didn't even know about it?
Well, the thing that gets me is that they make suggestive leading. I mean, they're just about as leading questions as you possibly can, designed to create speculation, a speculative response. And so Schiff is asking for a speculative response. And it's ridiculous. So here's a couple of things that really tick me off as a guy that deals with the judicial system every darn day. And that is, they are mocking, the Democrats are making a mockery of our judicial system. They are using hearsay and innuendo. They don't even have enough evidence to substantiate reasonable suspicion, which is the lowest standard of proof when you're accusing someone of high crimes and misdemeanors. They don't even have specific articulable facts and evidence. They don't have first-person evidence. They have no direct evidence. They have no forensic evidence. They have absolutely nothing.
In fact, they have the opposite, because the person that they're saying was the one that was harmed says no.
Right, which is exculpatory.
Right,
or
exactly.
Innocent. But here's the thing that gets me, and boy, I wish I would have been in there and gotten to ask a few questions, because here's the questions that I would have posed to each one of these witnesses, especially Yovanovitch, because she was the former ambassador. So here's just really quick, my quick line of questions. Ms. Yovanovitch, did you supervise people as the ambassador? Yes, I did. You supervised employees? Yes. Okay. So in disciplining an employee, just a basic lowest level employee, can you use hearsay to support disciplinary action? No. You understand labor law because you got a lot of education on labor law, especially federal labor law with federal employees. Can you even dismiss or even write a letter of reprimand or a documented oral counseling, which is the lowest form of discipline? We're not even talking about suspension or termination. Can you even write a letter of reprimand based on hearsay according to federal labor law? No. Okay, so what we're trying to do here, you're coming here to impeach the President of the United States, and you don't even have enough to support a documented oral counseling, okay, for the lowest level federal employee that we have. It's absolutely amazing mockery.
And you know, so let's go backwards in time a little bit, Ron. The reason that this whole mockery is happening is because they can't win at the polls, and they know it, and they have a lousy group of Democratic people running for president. So there's what they're stuck with. So they figure that unless they can get Trump out, they're going to lose again. But what happened, in my opinion, is that Nancy Pelosi, although they desperately wanted to impeach the entire time since Trump has been president, now Pelosi jumped in the boat on this, and I think she regrets it because, man, they had nothing, and she jumped in. And Pelosi's usually smarter than that, and now she's got herself between a rock and a hard place because she's got to support it because she started it, but they got nothing. Well, and the American people are not stupid. They know it. And guess what? Trump is raking in the donations, and I'm writing a check myself.
Well, I'll tell you what. Just really briefly, I've got a couple of takeaways from this whole thing, from what I've heard and what I've seen now. First of all, number one, this is political theater, and the ratings so far, the television ratings on this thing have just been low. If it was a TV show, it would have been canceled, okay? that's number one. Number two, there's no there, and that's what you and I have been discussing this evening. There's no there. There's not even anything that even approaches reasonable suspicion to do anything. And the last thing is, guess what? The stock market is going through the roof this week. We've had some of the highest highs in the stock market. So the stock market, which is a barometer, okay, of what how the nation is going, at least in the business community, they don't care.
They don't
care.
Because
everybody gets it. It's nothing but political theater, and it's just designed to try to embarrass the president. And ultimately, this impeachment is in the toilet because the Senate is not going to vote for it. And even they've already got a couple of Democrats that have already gone on board and said, we're not going in that direction.
And it's going to help Trump.
Absolutely. How about a cup of coffee?
Yep.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
As former law enforcement officers, we know that your life and the lives of those you love and work with can change in an instant when you encounter an active shooter.
Unfortunately, in today's world of uncertainty, encountering an armed active shooter can have deadly consequences. That's why the key to survival is training and preparedness.
And that's why we want to invite our listeners to seriously consider taking our Response to Active Shooter training course.
Violence can happen to you anytime and anywhere and when you least expect it. Having a response and survival plan and engaging it can be the difference between life and death for you or a family member.
Our Response to Active Shooter courses are customized for the corporate, school, church, restaurant, and small business environment at a reasonable budget that fits your needs.
So don't put this life-saving training off because you don't think it will ever happen to you. We call those people victims.
Our Response to Active Shooter instructors are all nationally renowned tactical law enforcement experts who will guide you through the life-saving protocols you'll need to survive an active shooter event.
So be a victor, not a victim. Go to ResponseToActiveShooter.com to learn more today.
Remember, that's all one word, ResponseToActiveShooter.com, and be safe out there.
I'm all coffeeed up, and I want to talk about some things for the upcoming holiday season.
Oh, that's a stressful time. Got to get presents for the kids and do all of that stuff.
Holidays,
I still have to find
stressful.
Something for you.
Last year about this time, you and I had a conversation, because it's just fun to do, about what the top-selling, hottest things are that are selling for the season. So I kind of want to talk about that. And one of the first things I want to mention, it's another top seller this year. It was a top seller last year, and we actually bought it. I bought it for you, and I bought one for each of our kids, and that is a little item called Fixed.
Yeah, and what Fixed does, because I'm the guy that plays with it all the time, okay, is it's a little tiny device. It's a computerized device, and you put it in the diagnostic, like USB port, okay? And I've got it in the Ford F-150, okay? And
which is now at our son's house.
No, that's the old
one. Okay,
I'm talking
good.
About the newer one, okay. not the old ranch truck. But, okay, so... And you know me, I am like, what do you say to me about me all the time? Technologically challenged.
Challenged,
right?
Yes.
So I put it in the newer Ford F-150, and it goes right into the diagnostic plug, which is where they plug, you know,
right.
When you take your car to the shop, that's where they plug in. So this little device goes in there, and there's an application I got to write on my cell phone. And I'll be darned if the darn thing doesn't work, okay? It's really cool. And first of all, it does everything that the advertisement said it does, as far as diagnosing things that potentially wrong with your car. But it also does a lot of other cool things that I didn't think it was going to do. First of all, it has got a GPS locator on it, okay?
Oh.
So it knows where you are.
Okay.
Okay? And it'll say on your phone, all of a sudden your phone will go off, it'll say, hey, there's something wrong with your car. Where the thing that I think everybody, including me, finds frustrating is your little warning light go on, right?
Yeah.
Your warning light goes on your dashboard, but you have no idea. You go into your service manual and it always says the same thing. Oh, the warning light's on. Well, you're going to need to take it in.
Yeah.
And pay money for somebody to tell you what's up. And a lot of times it's nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll just give you a great example. So the warning light goes on last year before we bought this thing. And, okay, you got to take it into the shop right away. Well, what happened was the only thing that was wrong with it is that the gas cap thing was on wrong.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay? So I'm trying to figure out what the hell's going on with my truck, and it's just the gas cap. So what this thing does is it actually tells you
what's wrong. That's
and good. Automatically gives you the closest service station, which is the Ford service station, to get that thing fixed. And then it tells you whether you really need to get it fixed or whether it's just recommended, where before you take it in and they just charge you a boatload of money,
right?
And they fix it.
I think that was a great gift. In fact, I want to get another one of those for my car in California, because I had a light go on this last week, and all it was windshield wiper fluid.
Oh.
but luckily I recognized it.
But it's worth it. I don't remember what it cost, but it didn't cost very much money.
It
was like $35 or $50 or something.
It's called Fixed, F-I-X-D.
Correct.
That's how it is.
So that's a keeper.
Yeah.
That's a keeper.
Here's another one that I think is a keeper, and it's a gift I want for Christmas. It's called Muama Enance. And what it is, it's a little device for travelers who, with just a few buttons, language can be translated in over to 43 languages.
Okay, well, let me tell you what. I did buy that thing.
You did?
I did. Okay, but here's, you know why you don't see it? Because they delivered it to the wrong address, and the post office sent it back.
Oh,
but it's
okay.
Produced in either Japan or China, and I am having a heck of a time trying to get it back.
Oh, well... Okay, so I'll just buy it from a different place than you bought it from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what you should do. Yeah.
So it's interesting that a lot of the holiday gifts this year are the same as last year that are still selling hot. So I probably don't want to talk to you about the same ones over and over. One of the things that you bought based on our conversation last season was the photo stick for your pictures on your phone to get them off the phone and into your computer, which I thought was a great That's a great little gift.
Yeah, and it works. It took me a little bit of time to figure it out. I actually had to have one of our staff members who's more computer literate than I am. But it'll work on an Android phone, and it'll also work on an iPhone, because I started out with an Android, now I got an iPhone. But, you know, let me tell you what, Linda, when we're talking about these different devices, sometimes here's the mistakes that I made, and I've learned by those mistakes. So, you know, we're all on Facebook these days, and you'll see these ads for these devices come up on Facebook. My suggestion is do not respond. Do all your research on them, but don't buy anything from a site that's on Facebook. Find the device, go on Amazon.com,
yeah,
especially if you're a Prime member, and that way there's accountability, and they'll deliver it right
exactly
to you if you're a Prime member, usually within 24 hours. You know, one thing, I'm going to talk about one thing because it's holiday season. You found something on Amazon that got delivered, and it's a remarkable device. And that is something that, because you and I take hours to put our damn Christmas tree up.
You're right.
Okay? Hours. Okay? And what this thing is, and it's on rollers, which I absolutely love. And what happens now is if you put your Christmas tree together with all your ornaments and the lights and everything like that, instead of taking your Christmas tree down, you put this device underneath your Christmas tree, and it's got a water-resistant nylon hood for the whole darn Christmas tree.
So you just pull it up around your tree,
right,
and zip it up,
and
you store your tree that way, and it's completely decorated. It's on rollers. You put it in a storage space in your garage.
And it takes five minutes to do your Christmas tree.
So this year, we're going to put our tree up one last time,
right,
and we're going to put it on this device, and when we're done, we're going to zip it up.
And roll it over the shed.
Year, we can just take it right out.
And that wasn't very expensive. And that was a great idea. That's going to save us, all in all, putting up, taking down, 10 hours.
Yeah.
We convert 10 hours to 5 minutes.
I love it. Another one that I really like is, you know, I am averse to a lot of noise. I don't like a lot of noise. We are over-noised in this society.
Why did you marry me?
I know that this is true. And I like, one of the things that I love about where we live out in the country is that there is not a sound, not a sound.
Well, not city sounds.
No.
Sounds of nature.
Sometimes, but our house is pretty well insulated. So other than those giant thunderstorms that rock your socks, you know, it's pretty quiet out here, and I love that. But there's an item called Quiet Buds. Quiet Buds. It's one
B-U-D-S,
word.
Buds, yeah. Right.
And they're little earbuds, but they absolutely shut out the noise of things like trains, planes, automobiles, which I'm going to get for the airplanes, because the noise on the airplanes to me is very annoying. I'm in the air all the time, and, you know, there's just a lot of kind of ambient noise going on all the time.
Well, you know, I use my Bose headset for that.
That's
okay?
Another one.
And that's a good
use.
One. So they have so many of these different things, and they're Bluetooth, right, Linda? This is going to be
a Bluetooth device.
So you can hook it up to your iPad or your Kindle or whatever you have, or your iPhone or your Android, and through Bluetooth you could listen to music, or you could listen to absolutely nothing because it's noise canceling.
Right, and you can use it at a loud concert and it prevents ear damage. The place where I'm going to use it, Ron, is for when you're cooking and you set off our smoke alarm. And
stop it.
I'm going to put those in my ears.
Stop it.
And
that
cancel the noise.
That is so rare that happens, Linda.
But it does happen from time to time.
You're inferring I'm a bad cook.
There's another one that I know that you looked at, which is called Barks Buddy. It's B-A-R-X Buddy, Barks Buddy, that stops dog barking. It's just you just push this little button on it, and the dog says, what? And stops their barking.
So it's a distractor, right? So it's a high freak noise that only the dogs can hear. It's a high freak alarm, and it stops the dog barking because it distracts the dog, and they don't like that.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, we don't need that because our dog is not a barker, so
correct.
That's really good. Then they have, you know, this item called Dodo. It's D-O-D-O-W, and it's a little thing that you put on your nightstand, and it projects a soft blue light onto your ceiling that expands and retracts. And when you kind of breathe along with the light, it fades in and out, and it reduces your breathing, which, you know, was a trick that I used to do with the kids when they were babies. Is I would find that when I wanted my kids to go to sleep, and I would be walking with them for hours.
Our kids.
I learned that if I slow my breathing to a breathing rate that is would be similar to sleep, a very slow rate, that they would go to sleep. So if I would breathe fast, they would stay awake. If I would breathe slowly and mimic sleep, they would go to sleep. That's kind of the same thing with this. It slows your breathing rate. It makes you calm. You know, people have racing thoughts with our society today when they go to bed, and this just calms you. So it's called Dodo, and I think that that's really... that can be really valuable, because I think sleep is just so, so important to get a good night's sleep.
Okay.
Okay. And I love this next one. It's called Mobile White. And what it is, it's a teeth whitening system that makes your teeth 8 shades whiter within a week. And it combines a whitening gel paired with an LED light. So it's powered by your phone.
It's powered by your phone.
Yeah, so you put the gel in this...
like a tooth, like those those teeth things?
Okay. Yeah, you put it in there, and then you put the gel in, plug it into your phone,
stick
which
it
turns
in your
the
mouth.
LED light on, stick it in your mouth, and it whitens your teeth.
Wait a minute,
and
are you saying that just an LED light
with
going
the gel,
through
with the whitening gel? Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you don't know what the LED light does to the gel, right? I mean, we don't know that, right?
I don't know that.
Okay.
Anyway. I'm sure that people could read about it, but it's called Mobile White. And, you know, so if you have coffee stains or that type of thing, in 1 week, your teeth can be 8 shades whiter.
Wow.
I just think that that's cool.
Okay.
Because, you know, in years past, it was such a hard thing to get. I mean, we went through torture to get our teeth whitened at one point, you know, when they did it the old-fashioned way with the light and the gel.
But you know what? When we went to Puerto Vallarta and we had our dentist do it over there, That wasn't torture at all.
I mean, that was torture for me.
What? Was it torture
for you?
Oh, my
gosh, yes.
Okay, I thought that was pretty cool. Okay, never mind. Okay. I guess we all look at stuff a little bit different.
Another gift that actually we have and we use, because, again, we're out in the country, is a Super Boost Wi-Fi. It's called Super Boost Wi-Fi. And, you know, people in different areas have a lot of different issues with getting good Wi-Fi into their homes.
That's true. And we're on cable, okay? So we're lucky enough to be on, like, Fios or whatever it is. We're on cable.
Well, we're not on cable. We're on Fios. That's
Fios.
Different, yeah.
Isn't Fios cable?
No.
See what I mean? I'm just technologically challenged.
But this boosts your Wi-Fi in your house to give you a much wider spread of Wi-Fi. So, like, our Wi-Fi happens to be upstairs.
Our router is
upstairs. Our router. So we might not get it as good, say, out downstairs or out on the patio.
Right.
And this helps us get it all through the house.
Well, you know, okay, and I'm glad you brought that up. And we had to get these router extenders, okay? So, like, you know what? Last year we were talking about the Ring doorbell system and the Ring cameras, and we ended up in getting the Ring doorbell system. But then we also got the Blink system, you know, the Blink camera system,
yes,
which is an Amazon system. But anyway, we needed extended routers to do that. Now they have this thing, because I've been in talking with our son-in-law, as a matter of fact, just yesterday, we were talking about boosting Wi-Fi and this and that. They have this net system now, and, you know, I mean, like places like Best Buy and Fry's and these different companies have these things, and you can get those things, and they create sort of a router extender web system for your house. So, like, we're in a two-story house, so we've got, like, rooms upstairs and downstairs, and, you know, some walls are made out of concrete and other walls are made out of, you know, the usual stuff. And sometimes you have a problem getting the Wi-Fi moving around your house. So things like that are really kind of cool to have, and they do successfully boost your, you know, your Wi-Fi system.
Yeah.
So, but let me, I want to just say something about Blinks and Rings. Both of those camera systems work pretty good, and they're Bluetooth, and they come on your phone. We have apps for the both. But I'll tell you the one that I like the best is really the Blink system. I think it's the cheaper system, but for me, it works the best.
It does
work the
best.
And it's got a really nice infrared camera system, and we've got them all over the place now because we travel so much, and we can literally see 360 degrees around our property and everything, front gates and everything. And I'll tell you what, for what I paid for that Blink system, I love it.
Yes, it's been good. It's actually on the Blink right now. We need to get it back up online because we got hit by lightning.
So yeah, and it took it.
And that kind of knocked everything out.
That's definitely one of the things I'm doing today.
Yep. One more thing, which actually I would like, and I think is a great gift for people to give to their parents, is that there's a couple different places that do this Legacy Box, and this one is called iMemories. And this is where you send in your videos or your photographs, and they transition it to a digital format. We have in our garage, we have a huge storage bin of photographs, thousands of photographs.
I swear to God, I think that thing, I'm not kidding you, it weighs over 100 pounds.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I actually went on one of these places and I ordered to have my photographs digitized, and I never heard back from them, and I never got the box, but nor did I get charged for it. So I don't know what happened there. I'm going to do it again because I want to eventually get that box out and digitize everything. So I just think that that's a great gift. It's something that most older people wouldn't do themselves.
But tell me about it
appreciate.
Again, though. Okay, so what does it do, Linda?
Well, all they do is they send you a box. They send you a crush-proof box, and you put up to, let's just say, 250 photographs in the box. And so I actually ordered two or three boxes when I did it, because I thought, okay, I'll do 750 photographs right now, right? And I was going to go through that big box and pick out what I wanted. And then I was going to send them in, and you get back whatever format you want. You can get it in
a flash drive, or CD-ROM.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so I want to do that, and I think that that was a great thing to do. And you know, the last thing that I actually wanted to talk to you about, but I guess we'll just save it for our next conversation, is I want to talk to you about McDonald's. So keep that in mind because I have some conversation for you about McDonald's.
Well, that sounds great. And we'll take that conversation up later.